Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
I mean, we make sure they have everything they need. They have just like an infrastructure. We're not just sending them to a barren wasteland. It's
right.
There's like stuff there. There's food. Like, yeah. we'll ship food there.
Yeah.
Video games, movies.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty much the same as Earth.
So it's Swedish prison, but on the moon.
No, it's like if there was another Sweden that they sent criminals to. Like, it's just a separate place that's the same as this place, but there's only criminals there.
I don't know how you're gonna manage to pay for all of this, but I like...
If I'm God Emperor, I don't need to worry about money. I just say, make it happen.
But
money's fake. Harrison, money's fake.
I'm aware. Money is fake. Unfortunately, non-renewable resources are not. Like,
well, we're terraforming the moon. This is part one of this plan.
You're going to frack
space.
The moon?
No, we're terraforming. We're putting like...
I mean, like, literal like rocket fuel and like non-renewable resources that it takes to go back and forth.
They have this cool rocketry they're working on.
Okay.
Like nuclear engines and shit.
If they can figure it out.
When I'm God Emperor, we're going to spend less money on planes that don't fly.
Okay.
More money on school rockets.
I thought money wasn't real. So are you...
Resources, time.
Are we abolishing money or are we not?
I mean, there will be money because people like having things. It's easy for people to conceptualize, like, I have blank bucks to buy an Apple. I think existing in a system without that would be confusing and hard for people with today's mindset. Like, even barter trade or, you know, barter trade systems. But time and resources, I will just say, actually, we're not doing that anymore. You're still getting your Matthew bucks, but you're not working on this. And we're building cool spaceships so I can send people to the crime planet when they commit crimes.
If you can figure out a way to make the infrastructure work so that this can happen, I'm on board. I do think there needs to be a level. There needs to be, whether it's a level of crime or of like, you have tried the prison. First, we would have to completely restructure the prison system that it's more towards rehabilitation.
Yeah, a rehabilitation system.
Than anything else.
Yeah, and if you do a really bad crime or you don't stay out of rehabilitation, you just keep doing it over and over again.
Right.
You go to the crime moon.
Yes. Because we need to find a way to prevent crime moon from becoming the prison industrial complex. In the same way.
That's because they can do whatever they want there.
Okay, so they can just form their own, so they no longer operate under the laws of...
Well, there's one law in Crime Moon, and you can't leave Crime Moon.
But...
It is regional laws. The regional laws is, hey, it's Crime Moon.
Okay.
You can't leave.
Okay.
You're there now. That's your punishment. You've been banished to the Crime Moon.
You know what? You have convinced me I like this plan. I am on board.
And then we have like a cool Mad Max moon.
I mean, I would like, I mean, it definitely in the beginning. See, I don't think it would be Mad Max. I think it would be closer to like a Jamestown or like an original Plymouth before it like eventually.
They'd learn to stop being criminals.
So, okay. So, when you say you give them everything they need, so, like, do we have the basics of, like, a camp set up beforehand, or do we give them the tools and let them build camp?
Because I imagine we have
the moon doesn't really have trees.
Well, that's why we terraform it. I imagine we have a little, like, a little town, a little Minecraft village-sized thing. And then they can expand from there if they want.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's a home. There's, like, a medical center. There's a giant statue of me. There's a food place where food is kept.
So, okay. So, but also, if Crime Moon is more akin to, like, social whatever, I think if you change social, if you socialize more, and I'm not, like, this is an argument for socialism. This is my podcast. Like, if you socialize a lot.
Our podcast, comrade.
Sure. Sorry.
Against socialist of you.
You called it your podcast, like, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, but at the core of things, I'm a real, like, theocratic guy.
Yeah.
More than anything, I'm realizing it.
So if we socialize more things in society, I think Crime Moon would be basically unnecessary. Because the majority of crimes, especially petty crimes, are for resources.
Yeah.
So if we socialize a bunch of shit and, like, everyone has resources, there's no real reason to, like, commit petty theft.
Yeah, no, Crime Moon's going to be full of just, like, the worst people alive.
Yeah.
It's going to be murderers and rapists.
But then at what point, okay, in... So
I'm creating a Star Wars planet.
I
agree. Look how Star Wars planets where it's like this planet all crime, toe to tip, baby.
So I actually like this thought experiment. I actually like this thought experiment more than the movie, if I'm being absolutely honest. But I like this movie fine. So the prison system is more akin to like a psych unit. Is more akin to like a psychological hospital or like a rehabilitation center in this new world. So the prison system, quote unquote, that's the only thing I can compare it to. So that's the words I'm using, still exists on Earth.
Yeah.
It's just the worst of the worst who cannot make it through.
Who either cannot make it through or you're like, you're not even considered for it.
Okay.
Because you like murdered 10 children.
Because then it becomes, sure, then it becomes you are deemed unsafe for society.
Yeah.
I like that.
And when you get
there,
you get sent to the crime moon.
I don't think you would ever be able to get most people to agree.
I don't need to. It's not a democracy in the situation. It's a theocracy in the situation.
Sure. This is... sure. I thought you were taking over the current situation. No, you're starting like nothing has existed. You're starting
anew. Well, I take it over and then through force...
Oh, so you coup.
There is okay. A bloody period.
Okay.
There are the dark times.
You commit a coup. Okay, yeah. Understand. I apologize.
And then we take the chaos of those times and we revision it, so that's kind of like how it always was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
My light made things
Animal
good.
Farm.
Yeah. So that way, I'm tweaking the truth a little bit, and then everything's good.
Okay.
And we are going to take this moment to announce that we are on this podcast and we're starting a new one where every week I, your future God Emperor, present to my good work husband, Harrison Poole, one of my crazy ideas that we then debate. Nah, I'm joking. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your Crime Moon creating God Emperor of mankind in the future, host Matthew Olenchek, joined as always by my Crime Moon stan co-host and co-husband, Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
I'm doing all right. Do I still get to be the Pope of the New World?
Yeah, there's one Pope. It's still okay. Part. It's not separate.
Okay.
And then the Empire.
Oh, okay. So it's in this world.
Or kingdom.
So in this world, you try and Alexander Great the planet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Using my God Emperor powers.
Sure. Okay. Makes sense.
Maybe an army of automatons.
Sure. If you have been granted divinity as God Emperor, absolutely.
My goal is
you would be
one,
able to do that.
Get divinity. Two, create an unbeatable army of automaton men. Three, become God Emperor. Because I don't want to fight a war. I want to show up with an army they can't beat, and they're like, well, fuck.
So do you ever fear the possibility of a coup? Of a coup against you, if you...
They can build the Tower of Babel, baby, but they can't strike God.
Okay, sure. You know what? Whatever. Sure. In this world, you actually do have magic powers.
Yeah.
I forgot. No, I forgot you weren't like...
I'm not just Emperor. The God Emperor is the...
Sure,
part.
Sure.
Yeah, this wouldn't work if I was just Emperor.
I apologize. You're right.
I think that just an Emperor ruling over the planet is bad, because they'll die eventually. I think a God Emperor allows there to be real change.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
Also, yes, coups would be dealt with harshly.
Oh, so it really is Animal Farm rules.
Yeah, but not like, you know, it's like the person in charge of the coup. I'm not going to fucking be like, oh, this part of the world's rising up, blasted to ash. It's like, get rid of that one guy.
Thank you. Okay. See, I have...
We're just going to selectively remove people, mm-hmm. Starting at the top. We're going to remove
right.
Like, the top, wait a bit, remove the next layer, wait a bit. Until it just stops.
Okay, so it's kind of like you can hate the military-industrial complex, but it's really dumb to hate individual soldiers who were children who were lied to.
Yeah,
I'm so on board with that.
People following a false prophet, those are just misguided children. The 100%. False prophet,
yes,
is the one who gets punished.
Kill the oil barons, yeah, who are like the men who the war is fought at the machination of.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't kill the boys who were tricked and lied to into, yeah, two forever wars. Into
they
more
are,
than two forever wars, but two forever
I
wars.
I hold nothing against them. They are free to walk back into my benevolent light.
Thank you. Yeah. I agree. I agree 100%.
Also, I have no taste for large-scale conflict. I find it a gross concept.
So, outside of the initial bloody coup that, yeah, will be revised in history, yeah, yeah, as a less bloody or a thing that never actually happened.
Yeah.
So, the moment the coup occurs, are you getting rid of all armies everywhere?
There's one standing military force, it's my automaton men.
So it is the military of Matthew.
I'll probably have like a guard force just to, you know, keep order, mm-hmm, and stuff, mm-hmm, and help out. Kind of do what like the National Guard also does, where they also just help out in like natural disasters. And that would give a position for people who want to be of service or have like a more, yeah, martial mindset to go into.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, might this necessitate the creation of an enemy for them to fight? Possibly. But I would make the space aliens so that it would be a unifying force.
So, okay. I'm on board with this. So
I'd false flag the Earth.
Are the National Guard more... Are the National Guard the same in your world, the same as the Happy Fun Time Friends? Or is that a separate unit?
That's the Happy Fun Time Friends is just me fixing the political system, our police system.
Oh, the one that currently...
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think we need to worry about that because we're going to vet people that join the... I don't know, like the Golden Guard, the Divine Guard. Like, we're vetting them.
The Divine Guard. I like, yeah, the name Divine Guard.
We're vetting them. We're, yeah, yeah, we don't, yeah, got to worry about being, oh, because not anyone can be a member. You can't be like, I want to go be a police officer. No, you have to be an exemplary human being to join.
Yeah.
I want people who cry when they see me.
Yeah.
Because they're like, that is God and he is good and I am doing good. I want people so... Because again, you're the Pope. The whole idea is that the religion is better than I am.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because I plan eventually to remove myself somewhat, be a distant God Emperor.
Sure.
Because I think that if I'm too much in the muck, I will fuck everything up.
Yes. I'm not agreeing. I'm just following your logic.
And also, I'm truly bored by the idea of minute governing like that. I don't see why I would get any enjoyment out of deciding how people live their lives. And so I truly don't care about like energy agreements or whatever. Like, just like make sure they're fed. That's my that is my decree. Make sure people are fed. I don't care how it's
fed,
done.
Have, yeah, a house, have a home, and how have clothes. Just
I have people to figure out how this stuff is done. I don't care how it's done. Yeah. I'm going to go be on, like, my pals painting Warhammer miniatures most of the time.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we'll let the religion, the good religion, uh-huh, and better people than me maintain that utopian structure where I am more of just the thing holding it together as a source of power and reverence.
Okay. So when you eventually step down, is it... So the church then, like the church then is the governing force, or is there a separate governing force working alongside the
church? I mean, I'll have like a council.
Like a council? Yeah. That's what I'm asking. Okay, cool.
Because I'll still be consulted on stuff.
Yeah.
I just won't be like around.
Yeah. You know? You don't care about the day-to-day, but like if it's important, talk to you.
And if you get too close, then it kind of loses, I think, the mystique that's needed for the illusion to work.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched The Batman this week.
We did. We watched The Batman. It's fine. I liked it.
It's really good.
It's fine. I liked it. It's far too long.
It might be.
It's far too long. It works better as a mood piece.
It might be the best Batman movie.
There are parts of it that I think are the best Batman. I think there are Batman movies that work better as a whole, if that makes sense. There are parts of this, and Robert Pattinson as a detective doing the detective work is some of the best Batman
I've ever seen. Maybe not the best Batman movie. I think it's the best Batman.
There's an argument there. There's a hard argument,
especially
there,
at the point, because like we weren't created the like Playboy persona, but that's intentional.
Yeah.
But like we get a Batman who does detective work.
Yep.
And fights.
Yes.
And we've rarely had one that does both so well.
Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to be reductive about this movie, which I don't. But if I wanted to, I could easily describe this as a sad white rich boy learns what empathy is. And, like, that is the plot of this movie.
That is what, yeah, I mean, that's it.
But I'm not, I don't want to be reductive. There actually is more to it than that.
He listens to Nirvana diegetically.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. That's why I knew the movie was going to be good, when he turned down the music. And I said, oh my God, he's listening to Nirvana diegetically? Yes. This rocks.
This
Batman loves Nirvana.
This is the most realistic of what Batman actually would become.
I
don't think he would have truly become the Playboy ninja.
The Playboy is always a front, which I think is like I think Christian Bale does it very good. The
dichotomy.
Ways. Yeah. The one thing, because like Michael Keaton's a good Batman, but the one thing I think is that he doesn't have a humanity to him that this one does, mm-hmm. or like Christian Bale's does, where there is that like, oh, this person's damaged.
Yeah.
Because Batman, like, even at his best of him, he's like, like it was in the fucking Justice League cartoon, he's like, I'm a rich boy with parent issues.
Yes.
That dresses up like a bat. Like, the best Batman is one who looks at himself and says, what I'm doing is fucking crazy.
Yes. It's just under self-aware.
Yeah.
I think is the best Batman, where I think subconsciously he knows he became Batman to deal with childhood trauma, but I don't think the conscious mind understands why he's doing it.
See, I always view it as the Batman who's like, what I'm doing is absolutely crazy,
mm-hmm.
but it is doing that good.
Also, is this the first time we've actually seen Batman be a real detective? Like a detective. Like I know Bale, he was like superhero and quote unquote detective. He worked with the police.
This is the first one that we see. But, like
we see him like look in files and like solve puzzles.
Cause
look for clues and shit.
There's a bit of it Michael Keaton's.
Yeah.
But they always kind of like gloss over it and make it real quick. This is the first one where it's like, he's like, oh, Alfred just spent an entire night working on a crossword puzzle.
I think the best plot of this movie is the Riddler plot.
The opening shot.
Yes.
The opening shot where he just moves and he's there.
It almost seemed out
of place because of how good it was.
The shot that I love is the car flipped and it's Batman upside down. And then like Robert Pattinson turns so that he's back side up.
This movie's beautiful.
Have you seen Matt Reeves' Planet of the Apes movies?
I think I've seen part of one.
Okay. They rule. They're so good. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is one of my favorite movies of 2014. And then War of the Planet of the Apes is really good. So I knew going in, I have not seen Paul Bearer and I have not seen Let Me In. And I haven't seen Cloverfield in like 15 years.
I always forget he did Cloverfield.
Because he didn't write Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Beautiful
movie.
It really
works.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in like 15. Yeah. How old am I? Yeah, like 15 years.
I always think when the one girl dies, but you don't see it happen, and how viscerally they show it. Yeah, no, he's an amazing visual guy. Like I love what he did with his designs and stuff too. Like how the city seems so modern but so old at the same time. Mm-hmm. And there's like all these half finished construction projects that lend this like poverty to it.
And I like that like the seawall around, like there is infrastructure that like if you destroy the infrastructure there are consequences to that action.
Yeah. Like, and some of the long like the two longer shots are like there's the iceberg lounge fight scene, which I think shot very well.
Yes.
And there's the one thing where he's walking down the hallway where it's lit only by the muzzle flash.
Yes. I don't like it because it makes my Tourette's bad. But like, because it's flashing light. But like, I was watching it. And I'm like, this is fucking beautiful. Please cut away now. not the one after the mayor, not Pete, but the DA, I think, when he's getting choked in the car by Riddler.
Yeah, yeah.
And the camera goes blurry as he's losing consciousness, but it stays blurry because he's still conscious for a long, long, long time. But it just stays
it's so good.
Out of focus.
And they did what the last and only a live action Riddler failed to do, which is make the Riddler a sad little weird man.
Yes.
Because the Riddler should be a sad little weird man.
Paul Dano is making some huge swings in this performance. I would say 20% of those swings don't connect for me, and I applaud him for doing them. There's one line that I physically laughed at, which it's the last video where he just goes, suffering! Like, threw the crooked teeth and he, high pitches it. I audibly laughed at that.
Which think works.
Because he's a sad little internet boy.
He's a sad little internet boy. He thanks his streamers for giving him suggestions. Like, the Riddler is a character I think works best when removed as we are from the actual danger of him. You'd kind of laugh at. He'd be made fun of because he's a guy who's like, I'm so smart, solve my riddles. Like, if you're in, like, Metropolis, you're laughing about the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's horrific, but look at that sad little piece. It's like the people in the Trump administration where you're like, oh my God, he's wearing two fucking hats.
I thought this was going to be... Once the second murder happened, when Pete died, I thought that this was going to be an adaptation of The Long Halloween. And then when it wasn't, I wasn't disappointed, but I was just like, it took a second for me to like get back into the rhythm of this because I had the rhythm in my head.
Yeah, they're doing the one villain. Cause I know the next one I think is going to be Mr. Freeze.
Yes.
Which I'm interested to see.
What a real world, like not cartoony Mr. Freeze, but also cartoony. Yeah. But like, this movie walks such a fine line between hyper realistic and utter comic book cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. I love that it is difficult for Batman to do some shit.
Yeah.
Like,
he struggles.
When he goes through windows and he mistimes it, he crashes through that window and hits the ground.
When he's going down, the
parachute and yeah. It gets caught and it just flings him. Yes.
No, I also think that this is a Batman that gets hit. Because like in all the other ones, the Batman just, dodges everything.
Literally in my notes, I'm like, holy shit, he got
hit. It's something that I also like about Ben Affleck's Batman. There's the big scene in the warehouse in Batman versus Superman.
Yes.
Where like, he's an unstoppable force of combat, but they're still getting hits on him.
Yeah.
He's just fucking Batman, so he's going to keep going. Like, yes. That's what makes Batman cool. It's not that, he's perfect, never gets hit. It's that you can beat the shit out of him. He's still going to keep coming.
I actively don't like the transition into the fly suit. I think it looks ugly, and that's kind of the point. I think it looks ugly, and it's really dumb. But the moment that the parachute got caught, I was like, that makes up for it.
Yeah.
Like, yes, this is going to look really dumb, but we're going to have real world consequences to it. Also, I like that it's early on in Batman, because I think Gordon says it's 2 years.
It's 2 years.
Yeah.
He's in his third year. We're going to see a growth, too. Because, like, we're going to see, like, more... Maybe we'll see a glider cape next movie. Mm-hmm. I like the opportunity of other movies being able to show us more things.
Yes.
And, you know, always having more work available for Robert Pattinson is a plus in my book. He's fantastic.
Yes, 100%.
I like that another thing about the realism thing that got me chuckling, because it's similar to like every other one. When he's leaving the courthouse and he shows the eye makeup on...
Mm-hmm.
Because why would it disappear?
He didn't have time to wipe it off.
He's blurred it a bit.
Yeah.
Also, I like that he's just this awkward fucking nerd where he's like, so you like cats?
He has a line, I think it's in monologue, and I forget what, it's, these people think I live in the shadows, I am the shadow. That just is, I am the one who knocks.
Yeah.
Like, he literally, I am the one who knocks 8 minutes into this movie.
He's just such a little awkward nerd. Like, when he comes out and he's doing the crossword, he's like the sunglasses on and the sweats, and he's like, he's a night guy now, so he's like, has the sunglasses on, he's like, hey, Albert.
And when he is writing in his like evidence books, the like crime and evidence, it's half diary entries.
Yeah.
Like he's like an emo little.
He
listens to Nirvana for fun. Like, he's a little emo sad boy.
The only way it could have been made better, but it would have been too much, is if it was Black Parade.
It
would have been too much. But it would have been fun.
I think, it would have been more fun. I think stylistically, Nirvana works better. Yeah. That being said, I would love for it to have been
this
Black Parade.
This is a Bruce Wayne who plays Black Parade sadly on a piano.
Yeah.
He's such a sad, wet boy. And then this is also surrounded by just amazing performances. Colin Farrell fucking knocking out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the penguin should be. The penguin should be this wild little weird guy. I love when he's just like, oh, why are you showing that to me?
Dude, oh. I was laughing during that interrogation because it was him doing this like weird accent and Gordon being so out of his depth,
yeah.
Like playing this like tough guy character. But you can tell he is spiraling.
I also like that
panicking right
they
now.
Both made a mistake and it was the penguin who pointed it out. It was the man who, you know, probably speaks many languages because deals with a large multi-ethnic group.
Yeah.
And so
he's a businessman.
So he knows Spanish and he's like, you got it wrong. And they go, ugh.
Not only does he know Spanish, he like working for the mob, he probably knows Italian and it's very close. Or at least like the root is very close. Enough.
It's also, speaking of Gordon, this is my favorite Gordon.
Oh yeah.
What
Jeffrey
really
Wright,
sold me on the Gordon was when they find the thumb drive and he's like, oh, this guy thinks he's fucking hilarious. like Oldman's Gordon's fantastic, but this truly feels like a higher ranking cop in the shit show that's Gotham. This feels like a man who is so, it's the one thing I think they do really good in like the Harley Quinn show is that like Gordon is on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yes.
And it's played out for because it's a comedy show, but like Gordon needs to be like at his wits end 24/7.
Yes.
Because he's a cop, a hiring cop who's not corrupt in Gotham.
I love Old Man Gordon. I think if we're doing more realistic, Old Man Gordon wouldn't work with Batman.
Yeah.
Old Man Gordon would be too set in old Gotham police
ways. Even like
not
in the,
even that he wouldn't be corrupt.
Even like year one, which is like the prequels.
Yeah.
Like it's a younger Gordon.
Because
it's been years. That's why Old Man Gordon works for them is because he met him as Young Man Gordon.
Yes. That Gordon is like 15 years older than Batman.
Yeah.
Like he has the experience and he has like the level of seniority, but they are closer to peers than they are a mentor figure.
And I feel
like a lot of like people try and put
we
upon
get
Gordon.
More him working with Gordon in this too.
When they're in the room and he's just so quiet in his face, like, punch me in the face right now. I'm going to give you the key and you're going to run up. Like, you're going to run off the
jump. You got to get out of here, man.
But I'll be fine if you punch me in the face. And then afterwards, it's like, you were holding back, weren't you? He's like, yeah, I wasn't going to punch you that hard. Are you stupid?
Because like something that we get a lot in the comics, we don't really get in the movies, is I just love, we get in the cartoons, like the Batman cartoons good about it. But just the fact that like Batman has like a few actual friends.
Yeah.
And one of them is Jim Gordon.
Yes.
We don't get it with Christian Bale, but like we get it in here where it's like, oh, they're like you can see like the Christian Bale and that Gordon like getting like drinking coffee together.
Right.
But you could see this one like after there's like like they're hanging out after like a big crime thing happened and Gordon like brings him coffee and he drinks it.
I imagine that they carpooled for after that interrogation. Also, that car chase is too long. That car chase is fantastic. It has so many good twists and turns and it's so action-packed. It did not need to be 15 minutes long. I think it was only like 10, but it did not need to be 10 minutes
long.
I like that.
Just like a fucking sedan that the penguin's in. He's just like in a fucking like
100%
like a not a Subaru, like a Hyundai sedan. Just this really mundane car.
Car chases in general, outside of like a couple exceptions, don't do it for me in a way that they do it for some other people. But like, it's fun. I acknowledge it. I think Baby Driver rules, but that's like so stylistic. But you could have got the car chase is emblematic of the movie as a whole, where it's like, it's good. I like it. You could have gotten to it with 65% of what
I want to steep in it. It's so beautiful. I also like that the Batmobile in this is just as intimidating as like the Christian Bale one, but it's car.
Yes.
Because like, we need to make a big thing to be intimidating. It's like, no, you just need a car. That's really intimidating. And the noise is like a firecracker played backwards, I believe. Or a Roman candle.
That would make sense.
It's one of the two things that he recorded and just did it backwards. That's how you get that like the almost like beast like whine as it starts up.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I didn't know what that was. That's cool.
And it does a little thing where it's the he goes forward a little bit.
I like the Selina Kyle relationship. I wouldn't cut it. I actually would keep that the exact. The only parts of this movie that I would actively cut is the mob. Like, I would take the most from the mob plot because I feel like it doesn't do like it. You can make the Riddler's point better with just doing cops as opposed to doing the mob also. Yeah. This movie works better as two things: when it's a detective story and when it's a mood piece. And this movie is weakest when it's a mob, it's like a gangster movie. And I don't, you can cut most of that.
I get why
that's most of the second hour.
I think they did it the best out of any of the bad, because they did the best out of any of the Batman movies.
Yeah.
Because the Batman movies always touch on it, because the mob is a big part of Batman, especially the early Batman.
Yeah.
And I think this one definitely does it the best.
Sure. I just think I think if you're going to have the two stories, have them connect more in the middle than just at the end, if that makes, like, am I making, does that make sense? Okay. Like, make the detective story and the gangster movie interwoven constantly, as opposed to, like, they connect at this end point, like, at Falcone's death.
Yeah.
But with that being said, then we would have to mostly get rid of that club fight, and that's one of the best scenes of the movie, mm-hmm. and I'm not willing to do that.
I think it's also important to kind of, like, tie into the Riddler's motivations.
Sure.
Because you had to put some stank on the Waynes. I also like, speaking of a stank, and I like gross Joker.
Yes.
I like a little bit of, I like that there's an implication of history, that it's not like, oh, he's done some bigger things that we just haven't seen. He's early on, but he's had his Joker. And I like how gross he is.
Mm-hmm. I like how gross Batman is.
Yeah, Batman's gross, Joker's gross, Riddler's, everyone's gross.
This movie is gross. I think what this movie does incredibly well is that the life of this people in this world isn't clean or good.
No, Gotham's disgusting.
Gotham is gross.
Look at this Gotham's Joker. He's awful and looks like he might die. And I like it. Something we don't really get. We never, obviously, because just how the movies are set up. I like getting him consulting with the Joker. I like a Batman who's like willing to go consult with villains, mm-hmm. sort of stuff.
Is this? I know Lego Batman does it quite a bit, but is this the live action, like, major Batman movie that deals with, like, his wealth as, like, a plot point of his character? Like, in a way that, like, when Selina Kyle says, you can tell you grew up rich.
Oh, like that.
Or when Riddler tries to know true Scotsman being an orphan.
Like, dealing with the fact that he, not necessarily of wealth, but of class.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the only one
I can think of. Because the Bales deal with wealth, but they treat it like it's just an average thing.
And he loses the resource, and that's a big issue.
Yes.
But, like, no, this is the only Batman that does deal with the... the class element of it.
Which is fascinating. I mean, I get why the Tim Burton ones didn't really do it. I'm a little confused. Not confused. Disappointed is the wrong word. But, like, the Nolan one should have done it. Nolan is a director that could have pulled that off. I mean, I guess it just wasn't a concern of his. But no, I loved that aspect where, like, this story acknowledges that he is the way he is because he is he's a rich white boy.
Yeah.
Or, like, the fact that he can do the things he do. He has his thought processes because he is a rich white boy, in a way that, like, and it kind of a couple times says that he's wrong.
Yeah.
In a way that none of the other ones do.
Well, the whole, like, emotional climax of this movie is that he realizes he's been going about it the wrong way.
The rich white boy learned empathy.
Yeah.
Where he's like, wait, maybe empathy and hope, maybe that is the guiding force of this universe. Maybe it isn't vengeance about my dead parents.
Though we do get a really good opening scene where he just effortlessly beats the shit out of that guy. He's like, I'm vengeance.
And that's the point
is that everyone... like, they don't call him Batman. Everyone calls him Vengeance.
Yes.
Because that's how he's introducing himself to everyone. So everyone's like, it's the cops, dude. Mm-hmm. But, like, all the criminals are like, oh, that's Vengeance.
Yes.
And, like, when he shows up to the crime scene, the mayor's crime scene, and all the cops are like, ugh. And then he just stands there, weirdly. He just stands there so fucking weirdly.
Yeah.
And just kind of, I like the eye recording thing too.
I love the eye recording thing. I love how messy the tools are and how messy the use of the tools are. And when she takes the eye camera out and cuts off, they do a really good job of like these two characters who deeply, I mean, not at that point in time, but like learn to deeply care for each other, but just have two different viewpoints.
Yeah.
They went into the mission with two different goals, and she didn't let him steamroll her.
That's like the eye thing plays into his detective stuff too.
Yeah.
Because it's a way for him to go back and look at everything again.
This is a point that not in the, this is just a specific moment in the movie that I wrote down. I bet you found it very hot when she pulled up Batman from the falling balcony, because she is strong woman. In that moment, she is strong woman. I literally wrote, damn, Selena be strong.
I like the motorcycle thing too.
Yes.
I thought that was really hot.
I like that at the end, they go to the edge of Gotham together, and then they have to diverge. That like we are together as long as we are in this wall, but unfortunately, like you don't want to stay. Well, you can't. I guess you can't stay here emotionally, and like I have to stay here.
That's where all my nirvana is. Yeah. I also like the weird architecture of Wayne Manor. The inside of it's really cool.
Andy Serkis as Alfred is such good cast. Andy Serkis, by the way, I'm sure you know, is Caesar from the Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah, because fun side story. I was talking, my mom started watching Andor.
Okay.
And she started I thought we were talking about the same character, because she's like, yeah, the guy who looks like a chimp. And I thought we were talking about Andy Serkis. No, she was just decided another character. It was a guy that looked like a monkey. And I'm like, I thought you were making a fun joke about how he plays a bunch of monkeys.
Oh my god.
He's a big monkey guy.
Much like the relationship of Gordon to Batman, the relationship of Alfred to Wayne is so realistic to how it would have been. Like, he sees Wayne as like a pseudo son, but has that distance of like, you're not my kid. I'm gonna let you fuck up.
Yeah.
And like, I'll help. I'm your butler. I'm going to help you do the detective stuff. But first and foremost, I swore an oath to your dad. So I'm gonna defend your dad's legacy before I defend you. Every time.
Yeah.
Like in the hospital when Bruce is like, why did you lie to me? Why did you lie to me? He talked to Falcone and all this bad things happened. My dad's a murderer now. Like, why would you not tell me? And he's like, your dad was a great man. You did spend your life defending a great man. He just made a mistake. And the mistake wasn't the murder. The mistake was trusting a murderer.
Yeah.
That whole storyline I felt was very quick. See, that's the only part of that movie that I think I wanted to be longer. But the like announcement of like all this happened to the death of Falcone, because that's only like a half hour of this movie, give or
about,
take.
Yeah. I like that.
That should be the entire second half of this movie. That should be.
Isn't the letter fireproof, that bomb letter? Because it was supposed to be read by Batman.
Yes. Oh my god. And when Bruce calls and is like, something bad's gonna happen, something bad's gonna happen, it already did. It happened an hour ago. He's in the hospital. I tried to call you.
And then he's having that like rage in the car.
Yes.
No, it's really good. I do like the big switch reveal where you're like, oh, he thinks he knows that Batman's Bruce Wayne. No, he just hates Bruce Wayne.
in the interrogation, yeah. The psych ward. Yes. I love every individual part of this movie.
I also like that the Riddler gets one up on him.
Yeah.
In the end, he didn't get everything.
Right.
It's a Batman that can fail.
A Batman that can fail disastrously. That, like, can fix the problem he helped cause, but, like...
Because he didn't know... He just didn't know what a carpet puller-upper was.
Which, why would he?
I didn't know what it was.
He's a billionaire.
I mean, if you don't do carpeting, I imagine you wouldn't. Because I didn't know. I just thought and said, oh, it's some sort of tool.
I thought it was like a wedge. I didn't realize specifically carpeting. I thought it was a flooring wedge. Like when you, I thought for wood floors, not carpet.
I looked at it like, oh, that's some sort of wood tool.
Yeah, that's a perfectly logical.
Like if you've never done it, I don't know why you would know what it is.
Yeah, I love is a strong term. I enjoy every individual part of this movie. I just think this, my biggest issue with this movie is that it's not even that it's too long. It's that the second hour is so slow.
I like that it gives us both. It gives us the more like realistic ground in Batman, but then yes. It still gives us the big fight scene at the end.
Yes.
And it all works. It doesn't feel like two separate pieces.
We've said it a couple times. That iceberg club, when like that feels like a comic book fight scene, mm-hmm. but it also, when he gets hit and like the people are getting hit, it feels like you watch it like, I know it's stunt choreography, but that felt like that dude got punched.
And
like,
it's the same at the, when they're up in the rafters with all the lookalike mm-hmm. snipers. The incel brigade.
I love that the
also does a great set piece. Yeah, just 100,
the Gotham Square Garden. Yes.
What a great fucking use of the space.
Oh my gosh.
But all the swinging and stuff.
The dude that he Sin City punches into the concrete, and when they unmask him, I love that it's just a dude. Like that he's not important to the plot at all, or like he wasn't like this, we saw him all along. It's like, no, this was just like it kind of just shows like the weird incel-y internet part of this movie, which shouldn't work in this movie, by the way. Like
but the chat room works.
The chat room works better than the gangster movie does.
I think it's why Paul Dano is such a good choice, because he just looks like a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Dano's just a guy you can meet at like Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Now, like, they even has to have the glasses on outside the mask, because how can he see?
100%.
He needs to see. It must have been so much fun putting that costume together, figuring out what, trying to find army surplus pieces that worked for it. Like, when they found that mask, they were like,
as much as I like the Riddler costume in the comics and the cartoon, that would not work in this world, or at least not work in this world yet.
Yeah,
I think that if the Riddler had like a darker shade of green closer to that costume in the sequel, I think that like now that that world and that character has been set up, I think now he can pull off that kind of suit. But like this version would be like a weird internet, like incel-y army. Like,
yeah, it's the Zodiac.
It's a dude who like is incredibly smart, but like isn't as smart as he thinks he is, but like is incredibly smart. And the line that when he hasn't figured out that it's a carpeting tool, and Batman is explaining some, I forget the exact wording, but he's explaining something, and then Paul Dano just goes, no. Oh, you were supposed to be smarter than this.
Yeah.
I thought you were smart. Why? I'm so disappointed in you right now. We were supposed to do this together.
Like, and that's perfect Riddler.
Yes.
Is being disappointed that the one person he thought could solve his riddles didn't.
Yeah. He is a mentally ill, very intelligent man. He is Zodiac killer. He is a Zodiac killer.
He's the Zodiac killer.
Yeah. Are we missing any particular scenes?
We could talk in depth about his moaning.
The Riddler's? Yeah.
Yeah, I truly like that they... It's like, no, this guy's fucking really mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a real mental illness.
Yes. Like, Arkham is a psych unit. Like, it's a prison. But it's a psych prison.
Yeah.
Like, this is for the criminally insane. But that the movie makes it realistic in that the characters in the movie judge. But, like, when Joker shows up, who was also criminally insane, there is, like, the logic of these two. When he tells Riddler the riddle of like, I'm gonna speak your language for a second so that I can get you on my side, that's brilliant.
I adore just the small glimpse of like this Joker's insanity that we get. It feels a lot more real than... It's close to like a Heath Ledger insanity.
Yeah.
It's like a Jared Leto one.
I think Heath Ledger's performance is perfect.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger's performance is also cartoony, a little too cartoony for this world.
Yeah.
Like, Heath Ledger's performance would not work in The Batman. No. But I think it works in The Dark Knight because he's the only character who is that. Like, the fact that you now have a realistic depiction of mental illness, to have like the cartoony one would just feel out of place.
Yeah, well, this one's like clearly an insane homicidal guy, but he's, you know, he's together enough that he's like, yeah, let me use my nasty fingers on the case file. Let me get these nasty little fingies all over the files.
How?
And just the weird chuckling he's doing the entire time.
Yeah. That's Barry Keoghan, right? Yeah. I hope that's Joker's presence in every version in this universe. I actually don't ever want, like, a real Joker is the main villain in this universe.
Yeah, we get it too much.
Because that's a very delicate performance that I think will fall apart if given too much screen time. I think one of the reasons it works so well is that it's on screen for less than 10 minutes.
And you never even really see him, clearly. Yeah.
This movie's good.
It's really good.
This movie's good. My biggest issue with this movie is the pacing, and that's mostly in the middle.
Like, it's one of those movies where I see the trailer and I'm like, oh, this movie's gonna be great. I hope it'll live. And it gives me the same joy the trailer gave me.
I think you can keep almost all of the first hour, cut the second hour down to like 35 minutes, and then cut the last hour down to like 45 to 50 minutes. Keep most of it. Let this be like a clean 220. And I think this is like a near perfect movie, or a near perfect like comic book.
I say add
10
more minutes, and all those 10 minutes are him looking out a rainy window.
You know what? I withhold my statement. Make it more of a mood piece also. Either cut it down so that it's a smoother story, or make it an entire mood piece. Because as it is, it's very good. Like, I enjoy it. I enjoyed this movie a lot more than I thought I would for a three-hour Batman movie. The reason I didn't see this in theaters is because I did not want to watch a three-hour Batman movie. Like, everything else was going for it. And I'm just like, I'm not doing this. But, like, having now seen this for the podcast, I'm like, I agree of me not seeing this in theaters. I am very happy to have seen it in general. I think if I saw this in theaters, I would like this movie a little more, but I would have mostly the same opinion where I think all of you would love it. And I would be like, that was really good. And I don't want to deal with that.
Maybe Batman beat you up in the parking lot.
Or like, what? I liked the movie.
It is amazing that they've made that it's somehow movies that are good despite being completely unnecessary. Yes. It's so rare you get a movie where like this didn't need to be made, but it turns out like decent.
Yeah, this movie doesn't need to exist. Do I wish that this budget would have been cut and made 20 $10 million movies? I would much rather have 20 $10 million movies where one or two of them are hidden gem masterpieces than this movie. That being said, this movie rips. This movie is good. This movie is very good.
Yeah, no, it's up there. It's one of the ones I bought on like Blu-ray because I'm like, this is good.
Yeah, I probably buy this on Blu-ray. I would not buy this full price on Blu-ray. I would buy this discounted at the exchange on Blu-ray. Like, I would add this to my collection.
Does that do it for us? I feel like this is a quick episode, but I think it's because this movie's just...
All of my problems with this movie are very simple.
All the good things are simple, too.
Yeah.
Everything, it's a simple movie that just really works.
Yeah. Honestly? Yeah. Did you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. God, every time I think of this movie, the first thing that comes to mind is just, you like cats. No Riz. Give me No Riz, Batman. Robert Pattinson, you're a beautiful man, and I support you in everything you do.
I like, yes, this is a No Riz Batman as opposed to Playboy Batman.
He won her over with his autistic charm.
He did.
This guy's got to be autistic. This Bruce Wayne's got to be autistic or somewhere on the spectrum.
I mean, I agree. I don't know if it's in the context of this universe, if it's autism or trauma.
A lot of it's trauma. Trauma does not make you go, so you like cats.
I mean, not being around people your own age and only being raised by people like who aren't your parents, who like don't love you, like not don't care for you, but don't love you. Like, that's a thing I love about this Alfred relationship, where I don't feel like he loves Bruce. I feel like he respects Bruce. I feel like he cares for Bruce, but he cares for Bruce as a boss.
Yeah,
as
a boss, I feel like there's actual familial care. Maybe not dad to son, but
okay. I'm willing to hear it out. I hope that there's more developed in the sequel,
because when he's worried, every time he worries about him, it's not. It's very much like a parental worry.
Sure, but then when they interact face to face, like, see, I
feel like that is more Bruce Wayne's end than
okay. And Bruce Wayne is told through his perspective.
Bruce Wayne and like towards the end, he starts to allow himself to feel that way. But I feel like a lot of it's the emotional stuntedness of Bruce.
Okay.
Like, Bruce doesn't really understand how important Alfred is to him until the bomb.
Yeah, and that is about the point, and it makes, like, because this movie is told through his perspective, like, yeah, this movie's rad.
This movie's fucking sick as hell.
Yeah. Watch it. I didn't love it. I liked it a lot. I probably will watch this movie again in my lifetime. I don't know if I will ever choose to watch this movie again in my lifetime, but I will never complain if it's on.
It's a solid fucking flick.
Yeah.
And if you want to send us some pictures of solid women,
sure.
You can find us at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. I'm also accepting Quora fanfic still.
I was going to say some solid writing.
Some solid writing. Some solid ex-reader writing. What was the other one? There's another one I was like, it's a movie we watched recently that I'm like, I'd accept fanfic from.
Was it Pam ex-reader from UHF?
It was Pam ex-reader. Yeah. You can find me at Midwest_magician. See my little men. My wee little men.
You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Threads, and Lemonade at harrisonpool.com, HARRISONPOOLEDOTCOM. You can find me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124. I tried to change it. It will let me change it. It will not let me change it to something as long as harrisonpool.com. So I just kept it as the old username. But currently, that's what I'm at. I'm Harrison Poole. Please, I like some of my reviews a lot, and they get no attention. So
it's everyone's letterbox.
My brother is the most consistent person who likes my letterbox, which I'm so thankful for. But I had one that I thought was genuinely really good that got only my brother liked it, which is, it was the movie Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person. And it's like, Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person is a Fall Out Boy song title that only got my brother to like.
I think the most likes the letterbox has ever gotten is like 5.
The most I've ever gotten is 3.
You're so close to the maximum likes.
There are professional reviewers who get like thousands of likes.
That's nuts to me.
But like, I'm not saying I deserve that. I'm not even saying I deserve more than one like. I'm very thankful for my one like. I just want people to follow me on Letterboxd because it's the only social media I actively update and care about. But that's HDPOOLE124. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.